Most gracious Father, we thank you for your precious word which sheds light on our pathway. And tonight, even as we ponder around your word, we pray that you will give us that word, O Lord, we need. I pray that your spirit will break thou the bread of life to us. Lord, that each one of us will go from this place filled with your word, that you will give us that ray of hope, and you will give us that confidence, you will give us that courage, you will give us all that we need, especially for this new week, O God. Bless your word and glorify your name, and draw us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Tonight we will be looking at a theme which I have called God's 5-point plan for stress reduction. I think if you and I have been scanning the newspapers, we have come across more often a lot of focus on this area, on stress. And we see a lot of people these days being stressed out because of the pressures of life, especially in the IT sector. And I still remember there are some companies in Bangalore City which cause people and call people to take weekend breaks and, you know, have a real break because of the stress they face in their work spot. But we would like to go the way God wants us to go. And so tonight I'd like us to focus on God's 5-point plan for stress reduction. How can I, as a child of God, live without unnecessary stress? We all are affected in one way or the other with stress. You know, the stress of raising a family today, the stress of work, the pressures of work. Each of us have our own problems. I'm sure if I come to you in person, you would list them out for me. But is there any comfort from the Word of God? Does God's Word give us guidelines? Yes, I would believe so, because I see it in the Scriptures. Number one, if we are to combat stress, is there a way out? Number one, the first thing God calls us to do is daily trust. Daily trust. Number two, daily prayer. God wants us to have daily prayer. Number three, daily meditation. Number four, daily joy. And number five, daily patience. And I believe if you and I take these things seriously, we will live longer and healthier lives for God's glory. Now let's look at the first thing. When we talk about daily trust, I'm sure as you study the Bible says very, very clearly, it says, do not be anxious. The Lord Jesus Christ in His teaching, in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, Jesus Himself emphasized this fact of not being anxious. And then the Apostle Paul also spoke about not living with that sense of anxiety. I'm sure in your readings you would have come across it. But that's what God is calling us. Do not be anxious. And in that sense of the word, what does He want us to say? He says, trust me. Daily trust God. Now, when we talk about this whole aspect of trust, I want you to turn with me quickly to this passage, because this will throw enormous light on our understanding of what the Apostle Paul himself went through, so that you and I, as we look at our problems, you know, we will sort of say, yes, this man went through so much. What I'm going through is nothing. Okay, turn with me please to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, scriptures which were read to us. I'm not going to verses 1 onwards, but I leave that to you. Kindly look at verse 8 onwards, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at what Paul writes to the church of Corinth very clearly. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Hardships, keep that in mind. Then he says, we were under great pressure. Do you get it? We were under great pressure. Yes, we all faced pressures. Here was this man of God with his team under great pressure. And look at what happens. He says, far beyond our ability to endure. He was almost going to burst. He's almost going to explode. I can't endure it. I can't take it. How often you and I have found ourselves in such scenarios, isn't it? We can't handle pressure. Pressure seems to handle us. And that is why sometimes we blow off, isn't it? You know, we throw, as the saying goes, we throw our temper around and nobody wants our temper. Who wants your temper? Neither your wife nor your children. None of us. I don't need it, you don't need it. But then we should be careful as God's people. Look at what he says. Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. I want you to see that this is from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, we even despaired. What's the use of living? There's no point. Haven't you and I said the same thing? We have despaired of life. And then he says, indeed, look at verse 9 please. Indeed in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. You know, Paul came as close to death. So close to death. But then he says this, look at this verse closely. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Now, in other words, Paul is saying, God has permitted this to happen in our lives. Now, when we go through all these scenarios in our lives, we must keep one thing in our minds. At times, it is not palatable for us. We can't digest it. It's too much. We say in anguish, God, why? You know, so many times, you and I, you know, get so angry. And you say, why, God, you are bringing this to me? Why to my family? Why to my wife? Why to my husband? No, we go through those things, and that's what Paul says. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And look at verse 10, please. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. And this is the point. On Him, we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. What is Paul saying? In the midst of my pressures, in the midst of despair, in the midst of death, hardships, daily, Paul says, we have learned to trust God. How do you and I face the stresses, the strains, and the pains in life? We need to trust God, not only during a weekend, but daily. My Mondays to Friday should be trust in the Lord. I need to trust God. Now let's look at a few verses along these lines which will help us a lot in our understanding of this entire concept of trust. Please turn with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Let's see what the psalmist said here. Beautiful words. If you have a pen, I would suggest you underline it. It will really help you a lot. Psalm 62 and verse 8, he says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Please look at that verse very closely. Don't trust in God sometimes. Monday to Saturday or Monday to Sunday, you and I, you need to say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Do not enable me to live in anxiety. Lord, I don't want to live in anxiety. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be split in my inner man. God, help me to trust you. So that's what the psalmist is saying to us. Trust in Him at all times. Not sometimes, but at all times, O people. And then look at it. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Please turn back to the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah speaks enormously about this topic of trust. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. It says beautifully, so this is what the Sovereign Lord says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. When you and I trust God, what will happen, you might say? God will never, you know, bring that sense of dismay to our pathway. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. That's what it says. The one who trusts in Him will never be dismayed. Turn with me to Isaiah 26. We are going backwards now. Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4. There it says so clearly, you will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. We said firstly, when we trust God, you know, we will never be dismayed. Look at the second thing which will happen to me. God will keep you in peace. Look at that verse. Look at verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. So I don't need to be robbed of my peace. See, one thing you and I should keep in mind always, the devil wants to rob your peace. And he brings in, you know, probably early in the morning something which will upset you. And you and I need to be alert. That is why I like one verse in the Bible, especially, I think it's somewhere tucked in the book of 2 Corinthians, where Paul says so beautifully, we are not unaware of the schemes of the devil. And so you and I need to be familiar with Satan and his schemes. And one thing he wants you to always not to live in peace. He likes to disturb your peace. But God is saying to you and me this evening, if you trust in me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that all of us need that peace. That's why we come to the Lord. So we will have that sense of peace. Let's go back again to Isaiah 25 and verse 9. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Thirdly, what will happen to us? When we trust God, we will never be dismayed. When we trust God, we will have that sense of peace. When we trust God, God will save us. And I literally believe God can come into your office situation or your room-like situation, whatever environment you are staying in or God has placed you, you know, God can come there and, you know, save you. He can bring about a mighty deliverance. He is not only the Savior for our soul, the one who saves us from our sins, but He saves us from situations in life. And you and I need to keep this at the back of our minds constantly as we walk our pathways with God. Let's go on to see Isaiah 12 now. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Look at Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Look at the prophet again saying, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. What will happen when I trust God? Fourthly, I will not live in fear because I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. Just one more verse from the book of Psalms. Quickly turn with me to Psalm 40 and let's see what the psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 4. Look at Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Again, fifthly, what will happen when I trust God? You would be blessed. And all of us in life only desire one thing, God's blessing. Blessed is the man. God will bless you. God will bless me when we daily trust Him. That's the first thing in our consideration of stress reduction. I need to daily trust God. Secondly, I need to daily pray. That's what the Bible says. Present your request to God. We need to daily pray. You know, please, you know, probably there could be some of us who don't pray at all. I would suggest that you start praying. Just even one line sentences to begin with. It will really help us a lot. Daily pray. Just present your request to God. That's what the Apostle Paul said, you know. Now, for example, if you turn with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, you know, there's something you and I need to draw from the life of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 is an amazing passage which talks about this man and his prayer life. Daniel 6, 10. Watch these words very carefully. It says, Daniel 6, 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Watch those words. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Daniel did not do this prayer because the king passed a decree against him. No. As usual. In other words, this became an habit in Daniel's life. Three times a day, here was this man who faced Jerusalem and who sought his God. And you and I need to do this, I believe. You and I need to seek God through the day. You know, whenever we are faced, especially we looked at this whole concept of pressures, you know, one way to handle them is just bow down wherever you are seated. You don't need to make it very obvious wherever you are stationed. Just say, God, I surrender to you. That's all. And you'll see amazingly how God can move into your situation. Present your request to God. Let God handle issues. Let God handle problems. Let God, you know, deal with conflicts. Constantly, you know, we face a lot of conflicts. And how do we handle them? We need to invite the divine. We need to allow the Holy Spirit of God. And that is why Paul, as he writes the church of Philippi beautifully, Paul says, present your request to God. And here was this man, Daniel, prayed three times a day. Now let me take you again to another person who did a similar thing. Turn with me to Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55, verses 16 to 17. Beautiful verses. He says, but I call, Psalm 55, 16 and 17. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. Look at that. Will God ever answer prayer? Yes, probably when we seek God in the morning, the answer may not come. Again, when in the afternoon, when you and I pray, the answer won't come. But by evening, there can be an express delivery from heaven. Your prayer is answered. Amazingly, God can move and God, you know, can do signs and wonders and even work miracles. Learn to pray, my dear people of God. You know, if you have not prayed, if you have not been systematic in praying, I would suggest to you, even tonight, take time, you know, in the morning, 10 minutes. You know, none of us are so busy. None of us have such a tight schedule that we don't have 10 minutes for God. Can you just say, God, I'll give you 10 minutes in the morning. And God, in the afternoon, I'll squeeze in at least 10 minutes. And in the evening, I can squeeze in 10 minutes. You know, if you look at that, you and I would have prayed at least 30 minutes in a day. Now, don't, you know, sometimes we want to do something great. We begin, you know, by starting to pray for 1 hour and then it fizzles out, you know. It's like the fizz in that bottle. And after that, we are gone. You know, probably at the end of the year, we come to New Year's service. We make a resolution, God, I'm going to pray 3 hours, 4 hours. You know, it probably start very well the first 2 days. The third day, you're again back to square one. Oh, no, let's do small things. Start with small sentences. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Daily present your request to God. And if you come down with me to the same psalm, Psalm 55 and verse 22 is amazing. We looked at verses 16. He says, I call to God and He saves me. Look at the discovery of the psalmist in verse 22. He said, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Even tonight, as you and I worship God. Can we cast our cares on God? I'm sure you're seated here at this service with a lot of cares. Whatever be the cares, probably for your own self, you have some cares which are really bothering you. Probably some cares about the immediate family. Probably for your children. Probably for your wife. Probably for your job. I don't know. But just say, God, I present this care to you. Please handle it for me. Just cast it to Him and He will take care of it. Turn with me again to the book of Psalms. Let's go quickly to Psalm 3, please. Turn with me to Psalm 3 again as we look at daily prayer. Psalm 3 and verse 3 and 4. Here the psalmist says, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and He answers me from His holy hill." Please, let's remember, every cry God will hear. Every cry, that's what He says. To the Lord I cry aloud. Yes, sometimes you're not able to cry aloud. But you know, tears can flow down from our eyes, even in those moments of silence. Tears can come down through our eyes. But the point is, God will answer us from His holy hill. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 3. He says, "From the Lord comes deliverance, and may your blessing be on your people." Yes, when we call upon God, God answers us. When we call upon God, God will deliver us. Yes, we need, you know, sometimes that deliverance. You know, we need that deliverance, and God only can bring about that deliverance when we learn to pray. Quickly turn again with me to Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verses 9 to 10. Psalm 9, 9 to 10, he says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." And look at verse 10. "Those who know your name will trust you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And Psalm 11 and verse 1, look at what the psalmist said. "In the Lord I take refuge. How then you can say to me, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain'?" Yes, this evening you and I have comfort. We can go to the Lord. Beautifully, that hymn writer said, "Take it to the Lord in prayer." When last has it been that you and I have prayed? Can we learn to take the second step to reduce all the stress in our lives? We said, firstly, God wants us to trust Him. Secondly, it is daily prayer. Thirdly, it is daily meditation. God wants us to do some form of meditation. That's why the Bible says, think about such things. Now, what things? What things should we think about? I believe it concerns the things of God, the things of the Spirit, and the Word of God. And tonight we need to ask ourselves, do we take time to meditate? Do we take time to meditate? All that you and I read of the Scriptures, do we ponder? Do we chew over them? Do we go over them like that cow which sits in the shade of the tree and just, you know, brings up that grass which she has eaten and goes on to chew it to get all the nutrients, whatever she can get for the body? And you and I need to get the vitamins of God's Word. Every time we chew upon the Word of God, I tell you, enormous revelations, enormous insights will come into us when we do so. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about. Think about such things. Now, when we talk about this, think about such things, daily meditation, turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Look at what the Bible says there. It says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Yes, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Yes, this is what we need to ask ourselves. The meditation of my heart. Am I able to meditate on God's Word? Let me again take you quickly to Psalm 119. Please turn with me to this glorious Psalm, Psalm 119. And I want to draw your attention to verse 97. I quickly will take you through that passage of Scripture. Psalm 119 and verse 97 onwards. Look at what the psalmist said here. A beautiful 97 of Psalm 119. Here the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Watch out. The psalmist says, I do this meditation all day long. Why? He says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. So you might ask the question tonight, if I am to have daily meditation, what will happen to me? Let me tell you, you'll become a wise man. You and I will not be foolish people. You and I will have the wisdom of God. And that's what the psalmist said, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Number two, look at verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Secondly, what will be the second blessing when we meditate on the word of God? God will give us that sense of insight. When you look at scriptures, you'll begin to see the Bible differently. You know, why is it the Bible sometimes is so, you know, dry for us? Because you're not meditating. Unless we give that time to God, unless we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, then only the scriptures can come alive. If not, you know, they would seem to be, you know, gold in that gold mine. You know, I'm always reminded of a saying. One of my friends told me several years ago, you know, as I was talking to him, and I think at ELS, this is what he told me. He pointed me to a section of books and he told me, he said, you look at all those books written by the Puritan writers, all those guys wrote those books, and most of those books were written on their knees. And if you read, I would suggest to you, if you ever get an opportunity, you may not, you know, enjoy those books immediately, but there is so much of deep thinking. And I'm always amazed to see the insight these men of God had, because they meditated. You know, sometimes we think, you know, it's easy to get the thoughts. No, it's not. Absolutely not. You and I need to take time to meditate on the word. So the second blessing is insight. Then look at verse 100 of Psalm 119. He says, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. It's not only insight, but the third blessing of meditation is understanding. You know, that is what we need today. People who will understand the word of God. You know, one problem today in Christendom is this problem. The problem of misunderstanding and misinterpreting the scriptures. You know, sometimes we can interpret scriptures according to our own fancies and dreams. What is not said there, we say it. But you know, when you and I really take time to meditate on God's word, God will give us understanding. And then it goes on to say in verse 101, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. What else will happen? You know, another aspect of meditation is you will be kept from evil. You'll never be drawn towards evil, but God will keep you away from evil. And then in 102 he says, I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. And then in verse 103 he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every long path. Quickly we have gone through these verses, but just to tell you tonight, are we meditating on God's word? Look at, you know, your quiet time. How often we don't have time for quiet time. I only hope and pray that we are all doing our quiet time. Please, if you are not doing it, start from today. It's not too late. Don't feel guilty if you have not read the Bible. Go back and start reading the Bible. And I'd suggest start with 5 minutes a day. Just start giving God 5 minutes. I tell you, it will land you up into 50 minutes, and sometimes it can take you to 5 hours. That is the beauty of spending time with God and in His presence. So remember that, daily meditation. Think about these things. And then the fourth factor about stress reduction is daily joy. Daily joy. You know, I like what the Apostle Paul said, and I'm still to comprehend it to its full degree, this particular passage. I often wonder, how did the Apostle Paul say these glorious words? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. You know, look at those beautiful words. You know, I always ask myself, you know, what did he have to rejoice? Especially his immediate context. You know, Paul was not seated in a fantastic palace. Nor was Paul seated, you know, in a room, you know, where you had wall-to-wall carpet and air conditioners and wallpaper and beautiful designs and, you know, beautiful ambience for an office or for a workplace. You know, Paul's workplace was that dungeon of a prison, you know, which was stinking and smelly, and what, which was totally, you know, you couldn't stay there at all. And in such a place, I often wonder, how could this man ever say, rejoice in the Lord always? And I say, rejoice. And you'll be surprised to know that as Paul wrote this book, the book of Philippians, I quickly took out my old Bibles to see, because I did a study some time ago, and I discovered the word joy and the word rejoice, just to tell you, appears in this book almost 21 times. Can you beat the Apostle Paul? And no wonder the Apostle Paul advocates so strongly to the church of Philippi, and he says, daily there should be joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And as I said this morning, sometimes we are very happy because of happenings in our lives. But happiness, you know, should not be dependent on happenings. Happiness comes with that sense of a devoted walk with God, I said this morning. And tonight I believe you and I can rejoice when we walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit. You know, and I would suggest you learn to walk in the Spirit so that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I will not gratify the desires of the flesh, but we learn to rejoice in God our Maker. Let me quickly take you, you know, this whole concept of joy. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, just to inform you tonight, so that you will understand the background and the context in which the Apostle wrote this particular book. You know, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul talks about the joy of Christian prayer. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, the joy that Jesus has preached. Then Philippians chapter 1 verse 25, he speaks of the joy of faith. Then Philippians 2 and verse 12, he speaks about the joy to see Christians in fellowship. Then in Philippians 2 and verse 17, he speaks of the joy of suffering for Christ. Then in Philippians 2 and verse 28, he speaks of the joy of news of the loved one. Then in Philippians 2 and verse 29, he speaks of the joy of Christian hospitality. And in Philippians 3 verse 1 and Philippians 4 verse 1, he speaks of the joy of people in the Lord. And finally he speaks, you know, about the joy as a gift in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. You know, can you and I beat the Apostle Paul? You know, sometimes we have, you know, just fragment of problems. And we are so sad, isn't it? We carry the whole world on our heads as if we are going to crumble and fall. You know, today let's learn, I believe, to rejoice. You know, you and I need to really rejoice in the Lord. Paul rejoiced in the Lord. You know, let us learn to rejoice in the Lord. And so it's daily joy. Daily joy. And that's what even the psalmist spoke about, Psalm 21. I just leave that for you to look at it. There the psalmist said beautifully, David said, "Oh God," let me read one verse at least so that you'll get what psalmist said in Psalm 21 and verse 1. A beautiful verse. David said these words, Psalm 21 verse 1. "Oh Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give." Yes, you and I should rejoice in God. We should rejoice in God. Don't rejoice. You know, sometimes our situations are not favorable. Our circumstances are not favorable. You know, there are so many things which cause us not to be joyful. But let us rejoice in the Lord tonight. Finally, we close with this daily patience. Daily patience. One thing which the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 5. You know, whenever I read it, I feel so guilty. He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Let your gentleness be evident to all. Philippians 4 verse 5. Daily patience. You know, this is what was a prayer of a Christian. He said, "God, give me patience and I want it right now." You get it? God, give me patience and I want it right now. Not even patient, but God to give him that patience. When I think about this whole concept of patience, I am reminded of Galatians chapter 5, where Paul spoke about the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I tell you, one of the biggest problems today in our society, in our homes, in our families, is that we are not patient, including me. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love is patient. If you are not learning to be patient, let me say you can be a patient. You can become a patient because of impatience. And tonight may we pray, God, help me to be patient. I close with the book of Acts. You know, it's beautiful. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8. It talks about the ascension of Christ. And in Acts chapter 2, it talks about Pentecost. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 8, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at those few days, and if you make your calculations, from Ascension Day to Pentecost, it was exactly 10 days. And it always takes me aback for them, the disciples, to do world evangelization. They had to wait upon God for 10 days. Patience in prayer. You study Acts chapter 1, they gave themselves to prayer. And if the disciples of Jesus waited for that long, how much you and I need to be patient. So, we close tonight with this daily patience. Daily patience. Number one, God wants us to daily trust Him. Do not be anxious. Number two, let there be daily prayer. Present your request to God. Number three, let there be daily meditation. Think about such things. Let there be daily joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And let there be daily patience. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Probably some of us are not gentle at all. And we need to be so for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of studying your word together. And as we bow, O God, you know the kind of people each one of us are. You know us. You know us so well, O Lord. And tonight we confess that we have not done these five things for our own edification and growth. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the grace to trust you, to rejoice in you, to pray to you, to be patient. O God, I pray that you'd help us to live life on a higher plane. Please, Father, help us to take you at your word. Thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.